from the latest earthquake in South America. This one hitting Colombia and neighboring Ecuador. Several thousand people listed as missing in the aftermath of the earthquake. The Dow is up 56 points, while the Nasdaq is trading 2 points lower. More details, srnnews.com.
It is that peace through Jesus that provides that peace, which is supernatural, surpasses all human understanding. So the question is, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord? Have you said yes to it? Listen, salvation is not by osmosis.
For more expository preaching from Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, tune in weeknights at 9 and Saturday mornings at 9 on The Truth.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, again, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. I'm delighted to let you know, if you've not been tuned in for the first half of the broadcast, we have with us today Congressman Mike Hill. Congressman Hill is the former District 1 representative in the state of Florida, Air Force Academy background, professional life in the professional world, and a former representative. I think he has a pretty full plate as to the knowledge, the expertise linked with being a Christian that we're talking with today, getting some good information in relationship to some of the things taking place in the world, in America, and how we should look at the election that is just before us. Congressman Hill, just before the news break, we're talking about the election that we're in here in the state of Florida, and there are the primaries taking place across America in the different states. But let's focus on the state of Florida for a moment and focus on the primary race that I see. There are 11 candidates running in the governor's race. Now, we don't need to go through and name all 11 of them. In fact, we don't really need to name any of them except for the fact we need to talk about what should we view as important. I've watched some of the ads on television of one of the main candidates seems to think that he is the heir apparent and seems to feel that somehow, some way, he is deserving of the call to serve as our governor. He talks about his poor upbringing. He talks about the background of his mother and the poor things. Well, Congressman Hill, I grew up in a home. We had no electricity. We had kerosene lamps that we would take from room to room at night to be able to see and then turn them off. We had no electricity. We had what was called a cupboard with the screen doors that the food product that was left from a meal would go in there, and the screens on the doors of what was called the cupboard was to keep the flies out. And we had no running water. We had a pump and a well that we would go to. And when I said pump, it was a hand pump. I remember those days just as clear as if they were yesterday. And yet I don't look at that as being something, well, I was poor. In fact, I grew up poor, so poor that the poor people in the community called us poor. And yet I don't view that as a calling card to say vote for me because I was poor. Now, with that being said, and that's a pretty large footing to work from, tell our listeners exactly what they should search for in vetting a candidate for governor for the state of Florida, in your opinion.
Well, Dr. Youngblood, let me say this. If you were running, you would get my vote.
Amen.
I would campaign for you, and I would get everyone I knew to vote for you, because the number one issue, I believe, is your moral standing.
Yes.
Your moral upbringing. What kind of a person are you? Because you can promise anything. And as you said, you can get those slick ads printed and the commercials made that make you seem like you're a combination of George Washington and Abraham Lincoln all put together. Mm-hmm. But if you're not a moral person, then all of that is just a lie. You'll do what you want to do once you get into office, but you promise the world to people now just to deceive them to get elected. So you say, well, how can you evaluate someone's moral upbringing? It was John Quincy Adams, who said that our Constitution is only suitable for moral and religious people, meaning Christianity. Mm-hmm. It is wholly unsuitable for any other. So I would ask the candidate about their religious upbringing. And specifically, I would say, tell me of your testimony. Mm-hmm. And if they start saying things such as, well, I went to church so-and-so, my parents took me to church, that's not what I asked you.
Right.
I'm asking about your testimony. Where are you in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? And some people will say, well, there's no religious test to run for office. No, there isn't, but I have one. Mm-hmm. And I want to know, where are you in your moral standings? And your moral upbringing, that's number one. Number two, because you can say where you stand on an issue, but if you're not a moral person, then you're just lying. Number two, I want to know how familiar with you with the U.S. and the Florida Constitution? Have
Yes.
you read any one of them? Because you're going to say an oath to protect and defend each one. You're going to swear to Almighty God that you are going to protect and defend that Constitution. I know in your monologue, Dr. Youngblood, you said that Muslim communist up in Michigan who's running for Senate, I would not trust him at all, especially if he's going to speak in a foreign language. You don't know what he is saying or what his allegiance adheres to. So we need to look at someone who's running for governor in Florida, their moral standing, their moral upbringing, their allegiance. Is it to the Constitution? Is it to the Constitution of both Florida and the U.S. Constitution? And then number three, you have to look at who is supporting them. We have a front runner right now who has money that's pouring in from all over the nation. Why? Because they expect something in return.
Mm-hmm.
And if that candidate is accepting all that money and is telling you that they are going to vote another way, they're not telling you the truth. What you have to do is be aware of your candidate. Vote for the one who is the most honest. And it's very rare to find an honest politician, Dr. Youngblood. That's the truth. I know.
Absolutely.
Because I was there.
you know how the sausage is made. You stayed in the kitchen a while.
That's right. That's
exactly right. Well, touching on that, I must say this. I've had the privilege of vetting almost all of the candidates running for governor. Some of those that have no traction, won't have any traction, just want their name in the hat. They're just going to draw away out of the total another 3-5% of the votes, which is, I believe, egregious, but nevertheless. And some of those that I've vetted and looked at, I'm amazed at the number of those candidates that refuse to talk about the Islamic jihadists and what they could do if we allow them free reign in the state of Florida. I'm amazed at the number of those candidates that refuse to talk about the LGBTQ sodomite agenda and what's happening
yeah.
in our public school system. I'm amazed at some of those candidates that say if I talk about those issues, I will lose the vote of the independent voter and may not be elected. Now, with that being said, if a candidate is willing to withhold facts, withhold the truth, and hedge around the facts and the issues that affect our morals, ethics, and values, as we spoke of a moment ago, if they're afraid to talk about those in fear of losing the race, my statement is I would not vote for them under any circumstances. I want a candidate that I can say, how do you stand on the sodomite agenda? What would you say in relationship to the LGBTQ? And then to say publicly, I would stand against it, do everything in my power to prevent it in our classrooms. What would you do, Mr. Wannabe Governor, with the porn that's in the classroom textbooks that now is being fought in just about every county in the state of Florida? What would you do from the executive position as governor to find them say, I would eradicate it? But now, on the other hand, when a person that has been in the Florida House, now in the U.S. House, but says, I want to come back to Florida, I want to govern the state, and I'm going to protect you from Washington, what in the world is he meaning? I'm going to protect our kids. What does he mean, protecting our kids? We'll not get into the minutiae of what he means by any of those statements. I got one of his high-profile slicks in the mail just yesterday. Two sides, a large card. Two sides of what he's going to do. No details, no expression of where he would stand on the real issues that we're faced with in our state and our nation today. So with that being said, what, in your opinion, should the position be for any governmental candidate running for governor? What should be his position about our borders, about allowing Islamics to run for office, allowing the agenda that destroys our morals, ethics, and values to go free-handed in our state? What are some of the things that a governor must do that protects our morals, ethics, and values in the state of Florida?
Well, you hit a lot of them, Dr. Youngblood, where you ask that question directly. Where do you stand on the LGBTQ agenda and what it is doing to our children? Where do you stand on the abortion issue? Mm-hmm. Would you stop, or would you be against abortion in this state? Would you fight to make sure that the death pill that kills babies in the womb will not be allowed to come into Florida? Would you fight to stop illegal immigration into this nation? Because believe it or not, Dr. Youngblood, it still happens in Miami. Mm-hmm. There is still unfettered, illegal immigration coming in through Miami that needs to be stopped. Where are you on that, Mr. Wannabe Governor? And if they are telling you that, well, I can't take a firm position on that now because I'm afraid I'll lose some votes, then when they get in office, they will be the same way.
Absolutely.
Because once you get in office, the first thing you're going to start doing is running for governor again. Mm-hmm. And then, should you get elected a second time, next you're going to be running for senator or president or whatever, because you have that political bug in your bloodstream. Mm-hmm. So either you're going to unequivocally state where you stand right now, or that's how you're going to be when you're a governor. And like you, Dr. Youngblood, if they can't tell you that, then you do not get my vote.
Absolutely. Another thing on the agenda, in the United States of America, there's 119,000 what they call flock cameras. That's tag reading cameras that are invasive, that's destroying our Fourth Amendment rights. I've asked three of the gubernatorial candidates, what would you do? Only one of them said, we will stop it in the state of Florida. Now, that's my position. For example, in Coral Gables, Florida, they're talking about now putting the flock cameras on the four corners of each of the garbage trucks with the expression very clearly stated that we will find people that's remodeling houses without permits, we'll find people that's not cutting the grass that need to be ticketed, et cetera, et cetera. And they talk about the amount of revenue that they will bring into the coffers by policing the people with Big Brother cameras. So my question to each one of those, out of the three of them, only one said, we will stop top the flock cameras in the state of Florida. That's my kind of person, to be very honest. But our time's collapsing, as the little boy says very quickly. Let's make a transition for a moment. With Sir Anthony Dr. Death Fauci, the COVID onion is being unpeeled. Just take a moment, do an umbrella overview of what we're finding from his text messages, his emails, his telephone calls, versus his public position when he was in that position at the NIH and other healthcare portions of our government today.
Well, what we are finding, Dr. Youngblood, is proof of what you and I and a lot of others knew from the very beginning, that Dr. Fauci was a liar, that the whole COVID pandemic was false. It was a scheme to where the nonsense of having people walk in only one direction in grocery stores or in Walmarts, to the nonsense of having these little pieces of plexiglass put up at the cashier registers, and you're supposed to wear masks. We've learned that all of that was a lie, that Dr. Fauci didn't believe it. The atrocity of demanding everyone receiving the shot and then multiple shots, and we're learning now that they knew the damage that would cause to pregnant women and their preborn babies, that it was killing them. And instead of stopping it, they continued pressing that on anyway. And I have to say this, Dr. Youngblood, I'm a supporter of President Trump and his administration, but he made a huge mistake with that warp speed nonsense of the COVID jabs. And to this day, he will not repudiate that. And that was a huge mistake. I never took the jab. I believe you didn't either, Dr. Youngblood.
Absolutely not. And that's right.
No. And I didn't follow all the nonsense. The only time I wore a mask was when I was on a plane and they would make you put the mask on. And Delta were the worst Nazis about that, mask Nazis. But that was the only time I wore a mask. Other than that, I did not. Because I refused to play along with that game. And so what we're finding now, that was a scheme. It was a money-making scheme to where pharmaceutical companies were making tens, hundreds of billions, and that our government was using our money to pay hospitals to use certain protocols that they knew were killing people. That as long as the hospitals would admit someone and start using those protocols, they would get paid by the government to do so using our taxpayer dollars. It was an atrocity. People actually should be in jail for what they did. I'm not so sure that's ever going to get to that, but they should be, Dr. Youngblood. And I hope that our next governor will listen more to our Surgeon General, Dr. Ladapo, I believe his name is,
correct,
who said there is not going to be any vaccine requirement in the state of Florida for your children to go to government schools, for you to have employment. You are not going to be required to be vaccinated. And I agree with that 100%, Dr. Youngblood.
Absolutely, and I'm thankful for Utemeyer, I believe his name is, the Attorney General, taking the position, as well as, I believe it's 9 other states where there's an investigation already opened, civil investigation for civil prosecution for Sir Anthony Dr. Death Fauci as to what he's done. I believe, and you touched on that about the vaccination being recommended for pregnant women, and behind the scenes on his daily diary, and with text messages and emails and voicemails to other physicians in his circle, Dr. Fauci was saying publicly that every pregnant woman, yes, in fact, I've got documents where it says, yes, absolutely, pregnant women should be vaccinated. And at the same time, looking at the statistical data coming in where it was harmful in the first trimester of the possibility of killing that unborn baby. It's my opinion.
Yeah.
Congressman Hill, that there should be a class action suit for every woman in America that lost a child or a birthday deformed child as a result of the vaccination. There should be a mega class action suit against the pharmaceutical houses as well as Dr. Sir Anthony Fauci. Hold your thought for just a moment. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go with the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood. Good afternoon, Representative Hill. Gentlemen, doing all
right? Good afternoon.
Doing good. Thank you so much. I hope you're well.
Doing good. Doing well. I read one of those, I read two articles last night in what you were just speaking about, and I was absolutely floored. And my heart went out to every woman in the United States that believed what he said, that it was safe and effective, and he said that multiple times. In regards to pregnant women, and those women lost children, to me, this is a very applicable. Whenever Jesus was saying, "Whosoever shall harm one of these little ones, it would be better for him to have a millstone about his neck and cast in the deep." I firmly believe this man is just about as maniacal and egotistical. And he did it for the money. He put human lives on a ledger, and it came out that a dollar was more than a human life.
Absolutely. Jim, I believe Sir Anthony, Dr. Death Fauci, surpasses Dr. Mengele in World War II with some of the things that he was doing, the atrocities against humanity. Congressman Hill, respond, if you would, please, to the statement that Jim has made, and ask your further question or statement.
Yes, Jim is absolutely right. And what I would add to that is Dr. Fauci did not do this alone.
That's right.
He had the... pediatrics doctors of pediatric medicine, whatever they're called, it escapes them right now, who were also recommending those shots for pregnant women. There were the American Medical Association who was saying that they should take those shots. The pharmaceutical companies were pressing for those shots. Dr. Fauci did not do this alone. And there should be something done to prevent it from happening in the future. And part of that would be making sure that those who can be held responsible, that they pay a price for it, to show that anyone who would dare think of doing this in the future, what you're going to have to pay for doing so.
Absolutely. Jim, hang on for a moment. I'm going to ask a question. I'd like to have Congressman Hill respond to it and then your input.
Yes,
Congressman Hill, I understand. I've not counted them, but the research that I've done says we've got about 13 million doctors in America. Now, my question to you is simply this. What caused the overwhelming majority of those physicians to bow, lick the boots of Fauci, and many of them knowing that there was not true science, that was not true medical care, knowing that, what caused them to bow, to bend, and recommend to their patients to get the vaccination, to put the mask on, et cetera, et cetera? In your opinion, what were the dynamics in that?
Well, I'll tell you, Dr. Youngblood, it's not my opinion. This is a fact I know personally. My own doctor, my family doctor, I called him and said, hey, I do not want to take the shot. Instead, I would be willing to take ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. Can you prescribe that for me? He says, no, I cannot. I said, why not? He said, they have told me I will lose my license. Mm-hmm. That's a fact, Dr. Youngblood. That's why so many bowed, because they would lose their license, lose their ability to earn an income to support their family.
Jim, what say you in relationship to that? And I'll let you go.
Absolutely correct. The doctors today, if they don't practice an independent medicine or an independent practice there, they're held to standards that are in place by the pharmaceutical companies and the insurance industry there. And if they don't toe the line, they are basically what Representative Hill said, you're going to lose your license, son, if you don't do what we say.
Absolutely. So what I'll wrap up with for your benefit, Jim, as we let you go, is simply this. We need to understand from history past what we must do today to prevent the repeating of history future, especially when it comes to so-called pandemics. We know what the government will do. We know what the government has done. We know the modus operandi. We know the protocol. We know the procedure and the process that they went through, and it should cause us to recognize afresh and anew to vet every candidate, especially those that were put in position for local government, for statewide government, and for national government to protect us from the enemy in the future. Jim, thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
And God bless you as we keep looking up.
You.
Congressman Hill, when we think about what we were just talking about in relationship to that, and thinking about the ones that are running for governor in the state of Florida, I am delighted that there's one of them that's dogmatically taken the position that there would be no lockdowns in the state of Florida, there would be no forced mandates for the vaccination, et cetera, et cetera. That's what I'm looking for. That's what we should look for as candidates. But going back to Dr. Fauci and what he has done and what we are uncovering, I'm thankful for those that are in position with Senator Rand Paul and Ron Johnson and others that have taken that position. But there are others that have taken the position also in relationship to protecting our borders, protecting us from the invasion of the Islamic jihadists. They're equally guilty with what will be done to America. How do we respond? How do we respond to those candidates that are saying, well, you know, they're citizens. They have the right to run for election. We know they're a little different, but it's another religion. We can't do anything about it. Give a very succinct response to that before our time's over today.
No, they do not have just a right to run for office here in our nation. This is a Christian nation. And I believe, Dr. Youngblood, that to be able to run for office, just like running for president, you have to be a natural-born citizen. I think we should have that as a requirement for anyone who runs for federal office or even at the state level, because your adherence should be to the United States, not to some foreign country.
Absolutely. Congressman, it deserves our prayer, and I say to Christians and conservatives that we need to pray, vet the candidates, and vote. That's my challenge to our listeners today. Congressman Hill, thank you so much for joining us on the broadcast today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
On 91.7 FM, we talk about God's good news.
You're listening to The Truth.
Here's a great answer.